views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm excited today because, you know, we're going to be talking about the Statue of Liberty, what she represents, how she's been misaligned, and why she's important today. And I think we've kind of taken her for granted. So I have here Robert Hieronymus, I hope I'm saying his name right, and Laura Kortner. They're the authors of The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World. So Robert is an internationally known historian, visual artist, and radio host. His weekly program, 21st Century Radio, broadcasts new paradigm topics across the U.S. He has appeared on History, Discovery, BBC, and National Geographic. His giant murals and painted art cars include the 2,700-square-foot Acropolis and the 1,750-square-foot We the People, the Woodstock bus, and the We the People art car. And now we also have Laura Kortner. She has co-authored previous titles with Robert Hieronymus, including Founding Fathers, Secret Societies, and United Symbolism of America. Her work appears regularly in periodicals like UFO Magazine, Fate Magazine, and several Beatles publications. She's the director of the Ruscombe Mansion Community Health Center. And on their website for this book is www.secretlifeofladyliberty.com. So welcome, Robert and Laura.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. What an honor to be on Voices of Women.
Yeah, that was perfect for great. Your book. So
yes.
This book is just newly out this week. So I just want to really dive in. There's just so much in your book. It's just kind of an amazing, the depth of, and like you say, the secret life of Lady Liberty.
Yeah, what, it's hard to know where to stop.
Yeah, what drew you, I guess I'll start, I want Robert to ask this question, to drew you to write this book about Lady Liberty and our Statue of Liberty?
Well, actually, it started many decades ago. From the advice I got from the governor of the state of Maryland, I asked him, how in the world do you succeed when, you know, you see so much corruption and you see so much distorted information? And he said, look, this is what you got to do. You got to surround yourself with intelligent women. Make sure they're smarter than you are, and you will have no problem. And it's true. That's how I really got involved in this, because when I began to understand, if you went back 4 or 5 centuries ago, when women were not allowed to have a Bible, women not allowed to have any control over anything in their family, their children were more important than they were in regards to their husband. And I thought that this was unbelievable. It was hard for me to understand how men could actually treat another human being in that way. And that's just the beginning of the problem. So I felt that it would be necessary sometime in the world to do something about this. And, of course, Laura is a pretty smart person.
Well, Bob has written a lot about American symbols throughout his lifetime. His doctoral dissertation is on the reverse of the Great Seal, that symbol of the pyramid with the eye and the triangle. And then we did in 2008 that book, United Symbolism of America, where we devoted a chapter each to various patriotic symbols like the Liberty Bell, the flag, the eagle, and one chapter on the Statue of Liberty. So we took that chapter and we went to our publisher and said, hey, we'd like to do a whole book on the symbolism of the Statue of Liberty. And they said, well, that would be interesting, but we'd really like you to do a more expansive theme called more like a goddess in the New World. And that was much larger than what we had anticipated doing. So we ended up going back into the Neolithic and the goddess worshiping cultures, and the work of Maria Gumbuta certainly opened up our eyes to the various ways that the patriarchy has taken control. And it made us look at the Statue of Liberty in a whole new way. You know, obviously she's a goddess. She's based on the Roman goddess of freed slave, Libertas. But there's influences there from the Neolithic and from a lot of the French Revolution time. And we even tied it into the Black Madonnas and the Virgin Mary and the Virgin of Guadalupe and the various cultures that were here before the Europeans were here, the indigenous cultures and their reverence for women. So it got into a, that's why it's such a long book, because we covered so many different aspects of
and I want to get into that
world.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit later. But so you did mention, you know, because we know it came from France. It was a gift to us. I'm assuming I always thought it was a gift, and yet I know they had to raise money to get it made. And so it was, you know, it came about right after the Civil War?
Well, soon after it, and was inspired, as a matter of fact, France and its people, Le Boyer, actually, and not necessarily what most people think.
Bartholdi, people know the name Bartholdi as the sculptor.
He was a feminist. And he was working in France to make sure that women got to vote, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that didn't finally come about to 1944, which floored me. I never expected that.
So right after the Civil War, the people who put the Statue of Liberty together in France were supporters of the Union, whereas the Emperor of France at the time was not. He sided with the South. So when the Civil War was over, these people... it was Auguste Bartholdi, who's the sculptor, and his mentor, Edouard de La Boulaye, who was a legal scholar. And it was his idea. Let's give a present to the United States to let them know that not all of France supported the South in the end of the Civil War. And they didn't do anything about it for a couple of decades, but that was the genesis of the idea in 1865, right at the end of the Civil War. They talked about making a statue and a Statue of Liberty. It took them about 20 more years to actually start doing anything about it, but that was the reason. The initial reason was as a gift in honor of the Union victory. A couple years later, they started saying it was going to be a gift in honor of the centennial in 1876, but they missed that deadline too. So by the time it was actually dedicated in 1886, they were talking about a more expansive Republican liberté kind of idea of why they gave it to us. And the whole idea of abolition had sort of faded in the background by that time. The Statue of Liberty is a very flexible symbol. It has meant a lot of different things to a lot of different people and changes her identity as the changing tides of political conversation go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is one of her strengths. I like to point that out. That's one of the female strengths, if we can call it that, is flexibility. And she's literally flexible. She was designed in an ingenious way to withstand those winds in the harbor, which are gale force just at normal days. But, you know, Hurricane Sandy went plowing through there and ripped up the sidewalks, but the statue wasn't bothered at all.
Yeah, so, and she's hollow. So, you
she's
know,
hollow,
yeah,
too, that's right. Yeah. So you can fill her up with all kinds of ideas.
That's dual, at least, yeah.
Well, one of the things that you first talked about, what I was amazed about is, and you have several art pieces and pictures in the book, which are fast. That's the first thing I did. I just went through and looked at all the pictures and what
Isn't
they were
fun?
About. But all these early depictions and the early maps of our continent, which many were drawn in Europe or in Britain and France, probably, depicting America as this Native American queen. Mm-hmm. And she shows up in these drawings and in these paintings and in maps. So how did that come to be? That to me, I just find that fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, on the maps that were created back there centuries ago, they always had women, obviously, symbolic of various countries. And America, the symbol basically was a nude Native American. Usually carried a bow of sorts, was sitting on an alligator or some other very strange creature, which really obviously never happened, because they were thinking about, when they talked about America, they weren't just thinking about North America, they were including South America as well in its symbolism.
So, that's an interesting allegorical female, the Indian Queen, as she's called amongst art historians. She was called America, or Lady America. I mean, that was her name. That was what America was symbolized as by the Europeans. She's definitely a Europeanized-looking woman. She doesn't look at all like a Native American. And they have all these misconceptions about what Native American women were doing, and were the idea that she was Indian, first of all, obviously, is Columbus's mistake, but she wasn't a queen. There was no royalty amongst Native Americans, at least not in North America. So they're projecting because they saw powerful women, and they just assumed that must be a powerful ruler or a leader or a queen. And they often are shown in scenes of cannibalism, a severed head, yeah, or, you know, gnawing on limbs in the background. Mm-hmm. And that was a way of showing that they were both enticed by the sexuality, the naked sexuality of the Native American women, and their less uptight approach to sexuality, too. Even in Vespucci's commentaries on America, he would say these Native American women are very desirous of copulating with us Christians. They thought that would be a selling point to bring more investors and more discoverers over. But at the same time, they were terrified of them and their power, and that was what was they used the cannibalism and the severed head. You know, these are fierce, strong, muscular women.
And the church really played that up about cannibalism, because there we actually have several illustrations in there of the Indian queen gnawing on bones of other things. And the reason why the Roman Catholic Church did that especially was because they felt very strongly that women obviously did not deserve this place. They did not deserve that level of consciousness. And as it was their way of eventually taking patriarchy to a higher level and preparing this continent for the income of more patriarchy as we have already had.
It was also a loophole in amongst the Catholic tradition. If they decided if any new people that you encountered practice cannibalism, it was okay to capture them as slaves and sell them as slaves.
They
always played up the cannibalism, even though there was very little of it.
I don't know if there was any.
If there was, it was
probably not. But we need to take. It's time for our first break. So we're going to come back shortly and talk more with Robert Hieronymus and Laura Kortner on the Secret Life of Lady Liberty. We'll be right back.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Imagine a world where good news,
oh yeah,
positive information and stories were the mainstream. Tell us your positive story. Hashtag positivity rules. You are listening to the Transformation Radio Network.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Tune into The Michael Shane Show the third Tuesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and connect with the ascended beings to raise your vibration and manifest the life you desire. Get ready to receive healing through the transphysical mediumship of Reverend Michael Shane and the ascended beings. Visit MichaelShane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, Shane.com, and call 425-971-6632 to schedule your full healing session now.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I have the authors of The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in a New World. So we were just talking about this image of this Indian queen. And also, I mean, that was sort of depicted, like we said, you know, on the maps and stuff and in Europe. But the American revolutionaries, you explain in your book how they embrace this image of a woman to symbolize independence for them. And rally against the king.
And we have a lot of these images posted at our website, by the way, at secretlifeofladyliberty.com. And it's interesting that around the time before the revolution, when the revolution hadn't started yet, when it was still happening in the mind and the imagination about 10 years before, and people were starting to think about leaving the country, you know, for the first time, that was very radical. They created this whole new symbol. It was based on the Indian queen somewhat, but it was a combination of Britannia, who was the allegorical symbol for Britain, Great Britain. She looks a lot like Minerva. She's wearing a helmet. You often see her with a shield on a rock. That's an old symbol from back in the Roman Empire. And then they mixed her with Libertas, the Roman goddess of freed slaves, who carries a pole, which is part of the slave freeing ceremony. And she wears that floppy cap, which is indicative of liberty, a Peleus or a Phrygian cap. And they mixed these two together with Native American imagery, and they created something new, which they, art historians, will call the Indian princess. So she's sort of like the daughter of the Indian queen or the younger sister of Britannia. And the cartoonists, especially the political cartoonists in England, used these two figures, Britannia and the Indian princess, to stand for the colonies. They weren't America yet. And they showed them in all these different situations of conflict, or usually, actually, interestingly enough, I wasn't prepared to realize this at first. They were seen together. Britannia and the Indian princess were supposedly cohorts against the crown because it was these cartoons were created for the merchant class, and the merchant class was suffering just as much as the patriots and the colonies were from all these boycotts and tariffs, and trade was down, so the merchant class was suffering. So they were seeing it as this stupid diplomacy that the British crown was doing, just like the colonies were. They were on their side. And so they would depict America and Britannia being put upon by the royalty and by the king and by the various merchants who were in charge of the boycotts. But anyway, she's slimmer than the Indian queen. She's paler. She looks even more like a European. And she carries the pole and the cap, but she's also dressed rather scantily. She's wearing feathers and a headdress and, you know, the various Native American things to associate her with the North American continent. Soon after the Revolutionary War was over, they used this symbol to rally the public, I should say, the colonists, to see themselves as separate from Britain and able to take on their own country on their own. And the colonists started to dress up like Native Americans. They adopted a lot from the League of the Iroquois. Bob has talked a lot about this.
Yeah, well, that's something we should probably get into later on, because all of this, when the Europeans came to America, they found that there was already a republic here, which was founded in 1142 A.D. Now, that's 400 years before Columbus came. And this was quite a shock to them, because they did not believe the Native Americans could have been that civilized. They basically thought that especially as they strolled through the various parks and everything, the Native Americans were especially important in regards to our environment. They took care of our environment, especially in burning back trees, with the same kind of a science that they we're using today. That's what they did. So when the Europeans came, this was a beautiful, beautiful country. And they seemed to think then, unfortunately, well, God has given this to us. It is for us to take. And that led to some real problems, obviously.
Well, they did take a lot from the culture of the Native Americans. They borrowed a lot. But I think around the time of the Revolutionary Generation, they were more thankful of it. They even saw themselves as Native Americans. That was the first time they started calling themselves Americans. Before then, it had only been the Native people they had used for that term. But they started to, obviously, they were dressing like them. The frontiersmen adopted the Indian style of clothing, and they started to fight like them. That was one of the reasons they succeeded at the Revolutionary War, was the guerrilla warfare that they learned from the Indians. But the main thing that they adopted was their source of government, the structure of the representational government that they took directly from the League of the Iroquois and the Great Law of Peace. They even had the chiefs there when they were debating the Declaration of Independence in 1776 in late June, early July. They were right there in Philadelphia. They invited them to come, and they camped out in the floor above them, and they took their wisdom and gave them Indian names. It was just a collaboration. They set up little organizations that they called themselves the Institute of the Red Men and so forth. But then as soon as the war was won, that friendship sort of faded away, because all of a sudden they realized they've got this big problem on their hands. They've got a lot of people that want to move west, and we've got all these treaties that we set up with when we were Britain to protect that land, and they just couldn't hold them because they couldn't hold the settlers back. So all this virtuous talk that Washington and all these people had been promoting about liberty and freedom and justice was just rolled over when it came to the Native Americans. So very gradually, but very quickly, at the same time, they stopped identifying themselves as the Native American princess. That symbol became more and more Europeanized until by the early 1800s, by the War of 1812, actually, she was completely Romanized. She was a white woman wearing robes, and there was no more feathers, no more of the a hint of savagery. That was the only place she still shows up is in tobacco signs. You know,
yeah.
You see her on the tobacco stores, the Indian store, the tobacco store Indians, Indian princesses. They still have liberty written on them in various times. We have some of that in our illustrations, a cigar store Indian with liberty written on her. So that was the sort of the end of the Indian princess. She turned into the American liberty goddess, where she's a European looking woman with the symbols of liberty, Lady Liberty.
Well, that's and it's interesting because, like, just it serves their purpose, and then boom, they're gone. And one of the aspects is this hypocrisy of you know, honoring, you know, the goddess, the Liberty, Lady Liberty, the Indian queen, Indian princess, but also at the same time denying their mothers and daughters and wives any freedom.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely no freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst part of it, because women couldn't own anything. They couldn't buy anything. They couldn't be paid. If they had a job, they had to turn their money over to their husband. They had to turn it over to their family, et cetera.
Yeah.
So they didn't have freedom in anything. And yet, I guess that's why it could be very disappointing to have a Statue of Liberty, this huge symbol of freedom, in which there are no women that are free in the country at the same time. It's a total contradiction. And, of course, those feminists long, long time ago obviously realized that had to change, and they eventually succeeded. But, boy, what they had to do it.
That was a conundrum that puzzled us for the longest time. I don't think there is a real answer for that. But how the founding fathers, so to speak, the founders, they went mad with goddess imagery. They put them all over their seals, their architecture, their statuary, their artwork. There's not just Liberty, the Lady Liberty, but they used Demeter, they used Ceres, Hope, Justice, you know, all these victory goddesses. All Washington, D.C. is just littered with goddesses, but so is New York and Philadelphia, all these early capitals. You can see them everywhere. But they didn't give liberty to their women. Now, why could they see that in their allegory but not see it in their wives and daughters? That was what just puzzled us.
Mm-hmm.
We've come up with a couple of conjectured answers, but, you know, mainly I think they could handle one revolution at a time. That's one way we came to the conclusion. It was a a huge revolutionary deal to break away from Britain. I think we kind of take that for granted now, and we all we can see is what they didn't do. You know, they didn't give rights to black people. They didn't give rights to women. They trampled the rights of the Native Americans. But just breaking away from Britain was a huge step, and developing this self-governing system that had never succeeded anywhere before. That was a revolutionary concept. And at the same time, they were very slowly revolutionizing things within the family. That's where real change happens anyway. And within educational systems. And the one thing that the American Revolution did for women was it allowed them to go to school for the first time.
Yes.
Because they got this new assigned role to be good mothers of the Republic. Mm-hmm. Republican motherhood was this term that Linda Kerber coined on American early revolutionary feminists. And they, women, you know, of course, saw themselves the same way as men did. They were restricted. They were restricted to the women's sphere, which was within the home. But they were given the assignment after the war was over to raise good patriot sons, and they had to be enlightened to be in this republic. It was all about virtue and being good citizens. That's what they thought would make the success of the new American nation. So the women were given that role to raise good patriot sons, and therefore they had to be educated. So they started to go to school for the first time on a regular basis, and new female institutions cropped up by the hundreds in the very early 1800s. And, of course, they were restricted to what they could learn about. They weren't allowed to learn about politics, for one thing, because that was the male sphere, and that would corrupt them, and that was kept for them for a long time. And it was scandalous if they were taught anatomy and such, but they, at least it was a start. So it's that was one thing. I think it was just too much for them to consider. I'm sure you've heard about the correspondence between Abigail Adams and her husband John about Remember the Ladies. That's that's pretty famous. It comes up a lot.
Yeah.
And they're back and forth. And he's like, well, you know, now ever since we've been talking about independence, now the slaves want some, and now the laborers want some. And now, but you're the first person to bring up that maybe the women would want some liberty, too. And that's just too much, Abigail. You just got to calm down on that idea. It was just too much for them to comprehend that they would overturn. They could overturn the king, but they wouldn't overturn centuries of conditioning that women were subservient and didn't have independent minds. It just was too much for them at the time.
Well, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back and talk more about this Lady Liberty and all the impact it has on our country today.
Would you like to experience life-transforming adventures in personal expansion and world service? If you do, tune in to learn about magical innate abilities that you can develop and use to make your dreams come true. Joy Elaine is author of The Joy Chronicles, and she's inviting you and millions of others to join her in working with galactic masters, angels, and the Ashtar Command, as they assist humanity and planet Earth to achieve their ultimate destination of ascension. For more information about this upcoming event and broadcast, visit joyelaine.com. That's joy, ELAINE.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Suzanne Evans. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Are you anxious, worried, or insecure? Hi, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub. I'm the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution. Join me for my next breakthrough video seminar, which starts on September 10th. This program has helped thousands of people worldwide to overcome their struggles with anxiety, and I'm certain it can also help you. If you're ready to be free again and have a stronger foundation of inner peace and confidence, visit the Fear and Anxiety Solution.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com. And sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm speaking with Robert Hieronymus and Laura Kortner. They're the authors of The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World. So tell us again what your website is and where people can find this book. And
It's secretlifeofladyliberty.com. And we do have over 100 illustrations in the book, and they're all up there, plus about 100 more. So it's really fun just to scan through the illustrations and see the various depictions of women throughout the years in the Liberty guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, it's available at Amazon and all the various places.
Well, yes, of course. and part of the book, you go into a lot of the rumors about the Statue of Liberty and how she's been misaligned and all. So what is an impactful one that has influenced Americans to not accept her as their symbol of liberty?
Well, this opens up a whole can of worms, but we found that when you will Google the internet for the word secret and Statue of Liberty, and you'll see what we mean. The first couple 100,000 hits are all about how she's a demon and she's Satan and that she should be torn down. It's just frightening what these people will think. But this comes from the extremist Christian mindset that anything that's remotely associated with the divine in a female form is satanic, because they were raised to believe that there's one male God and women were created separately as a helpmate or a servant to the male. You know, that's a spin on the Hebrew creation story. That's not the only Hebrew creation story, but certainly quite different from what the indigenous people were taught, where they have a woman falling from the sky and from her body and her daughter become the earth, that's formed the earth, and the moon itself is also a female. So they have a reverence for both the female and the earth that are tied together. You respect one, you respect the other. But in our Abrahamic traditions, we're taught completely the opposite. You've got the male, the domination, the theory that the earth is to be owned and that women are to be owned. It's almost a complete opposite. So they will see any reference to the female divine, which is the Statue of Liberty. Frankly, she is a goddess. People take that for granted and forget that. But the extremist mindset of the Christian fundamentalists who are backing the right-wing radicals in politics today, which is the frightening part about this theory, seems like, these crazy people. But these people have quite a bit of political power and quite a lot of reach when it comes to influencing the more radical right-wing politicians that are running today in America. So we like to point that out as what's at the basis of that is the fear of a female, a powerful female. And these same people who attack the Statue of Liberty for being demonic also attack any legislation that deals with women's rights, especially women's rights to reproductive freedom.
Because
that must be controlled and must be legislated. Women cannot make up their own minds when it comes to how many and how often, how many children they can afford to bring into this world. That should be legislated. So that's why we bring it up in a book about the Statue of Liberty. Bob, did you want to point something out about that?
Well, sure. There's a recent article that came out dealing with politics is killing the mothers in Texas. Healthcare in Texas is like you're on another planet. And one of the problems that they have is that women do not have the kind of freedoms that in Texas that they have elsewhere, especially dealing with the attempt to have an abortion or the need to have an abortion for whatever reason along those lines. But they are finding out that when it comes to women's progress, the United States doesn't exactly bring home the gold. We rank 72nd in women's political participation, and that also there's a great deal of trouble when women cannot get the kind of health care that they really need.
Right. I think that article was about Texas has the highest maternal mortality rate in the developed world as a result of their shutting down all these Planned Parenthood clinics.
Mm, and, of course, yeah. It's not just that. It's also dealing with children. They have the highest rate of brutality in regards to children being beaten, murdered, of course, raped, et cetera. Texas is a real wild town down there.
It's not just Texas, though. It's the mindset. It's the socially conservative mindset that we were just talking about that means dominate and control instead of care for and compassion. And that's one of the reasons we focus on the Statue of Liberty as a goddess. If people could accept that the symbol for America is a goddess, and then embrace that America is to be led by the concept of goddess power, which is strong woman, it's enlightenment, it's compassion, nurturing, the things that we traditionally shut aside as feminine values should be valued as strengths in both men and women. And that's where there's this wonderful story from the early Native American negotiations with the colonists where we pulled this great quote of, "Where are your women?" The Native Americans did not trust the colonials when they were at the peace negotiation tables because they didn't bring their women counselors along. How could they not, is what the Native Americans were thinking. We can't trust you if you don't have your female counselors there. They didn't go to war. They didn't negotiate peace. They didn't make any important decisions unless their women were there to counsel them, the council of the clan mothers. And I think that phrase can be turned to great use today, not just in politics, but in every field of endeavor. Anywhere you go, ask, where are your women? At the PTA meeting, at the corporate board levels, you know, all across the board, in business, military, police force, and especially in politics today, we're at a turning point with this election, and the first female president is very likely to be elected. But it's not just president, it's in the Senate. We've got to elect all these female senators to get the female power in there. But again, it's not just women. It's men and women who need to reach into their goddess within and see the goddesses all without around them in nature and in their female friends and their family and embrace that as strong, because that's the compassionate caring that needs to be instilled as America has a responsibility to the world to lead the way through that compassionate caring that we have the ability to do. And the Statue of Liberty is all about change. We can change. We've led the world this far into the situation that we're in now through domination and might and power.
Yeah, and it is, I think, and you're hearing a lot, too, of we'll make a difference that more women, like in the legislature and in corporations, you know, it's like 3% of CEOs or, you know, right. How many women are in leadership of the corporate right. institution structures that we have a lot of control in our environment here. And
study after study will show you that the more women in those positions, the better the profit margin will be. And, you know, if you make the compensations in the corporation for nurturing, not for women, but for nurturing, so that both men and women can take off and take care of their older family members or their children and have the flexible time schedule. The reason women don't become the CEOs is because they are the ones that drop out. They might be on the fast track for the career advancement, but they'll drop out to take care of their families because it's ingrained socially and somewhat chemically to be the caregiver. You know, women can be just as warlike as men, and men can be just as caring as women if the society would support that. It's proven.
Yes.
It creates better health, and it creates more profit to have both men and women bringing their solutions to the table.
Very good.
So where are your women? Ask everybody.
Where are you women? Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then women get out there. American women must see themselves as leaders. What's the
yes.
Dalai Lama say?
Western women will.
to save the world will be saved by Western women. I can never get that right.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that counter that. But it's like, well, we have the ability to, because we've had the education, right, the freedom, the economics to do that. And and stepping up to that plate of being leaders and not deferring to, oh, just let the guys do it, or waiting for the guys to, you know, hand the plate over to them. Okay, it's your turn. You know, I think there's a little sitting back of, and then looking at politics going, well, I don't want to have a life like them. You know, it's not very encouraging. But I think I have kind of hope in the younger generation of seeing some young people that are, you know, doing parenting different, where the men are more involved in all that. And I think that's really important. To allow for those changes. It's going to have to also happen in the corporate world, because they need to give that leave time for men and women to be able to have, because there's times where you just have to be at home with your kids or sick or, or whatever. So it just allowing for that. And other countries do that so much better than us. And the Nordic countries.
Nordic countries have done one whale of a job.
Right. Yeah. Rianne Eisler does some wonderful studies on that. And it was after World War II when they were all in dire straits with poverty and malnutrition, and they made a conscious decision to build gender equality into their structure and in the family. That's really what you were saying. That's really where the shift will happen. And I think the younger people today are different because of the women's movement of the 70s, and it's their children who are being raised by strong women are coming out as taking that very much for granted, that is, you have to have both sexes, both genders. Each has different strengths. That's also very scientifically provable. You know, it's not that one is better or different than the other. They just have different abilities. Maybe it's because of social upbringing, and maybe it's because of chemicals. We don't really know, because everybody produces that hormone oxytocin, which was used to be thought to be just a female hormone. But men produce it just as much as women. It's just a matter of how can you use it is the difference. Women have a bit more receptivity to it because of the estrogen. But that doesn't mean that men can't be just as compassionate as women. They also produce this hormone around babies and around dogs. And, you know, it's built in. What I'm trying to say is it's a built-in, hardwired thing to be compassionate. And I think we've gotten off the wrong track because of our religious structure has.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's time for another break. Sorry, we have to again go for our break, and we'll come back and talk more about the secret life of Lady Liberty.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit lynnbrownevent.com. That's lynnbrownevent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and today we have Robert Hieronymus and Laura Kortner, authors of The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World. So we've been talking about this goddess, this representation of the Statue of Liberty being, you know, this a symbol of Laura, what you're talking about, of a goddess is nurturing, compassion, stewards for our environment, peacekeeping, all those things that we need more than ever right now in our world. That's what we were talking about in our last segment. How can we really make use of her to inspire us to create this, to serve, have her serve as the conscience of our nation and be that symbol, you know, of that could perhaps unite us?
Well, I think she does stand for the conscience of our nation already. You'll see that in political cartoons quite frequently. When she's paired with Uncle Sam, for example, he tends to stand for the more masculine, greedy type militarism of the United States, whereas she'll stand for more the, I'm not so sure you want to do that. Think twice. You know, let's look at more of the other side here, which is a stereotypical way of looking at the male-female dynamic. Also, when you're in a debate, the women are trying to find a compromise, whereas the men just want to have their own way. Of course, I say that very stereotypically, and that's certainly not true all the time, but in a lot of ways it is. So the Statue of Liberty already is a conscience of our nation, but I think what we're trying to do is to have more people recognize her as a goddess and accept that word, goddess, which makes so many Americans uncomfortable because of their upbringing and the way that they've seen the religious right. We were already talking about that.
Yeah, she's still, when you talk about a goddess, you're talking about Eve in that sense, and the far right cannot tolerate that because Eve gave us all the problems in the world, supposedly. But the symbols of the Statue of Liberty are extremely important, especially that torch that she's carrying, because that is consciousness. That is the coming together, bringing people together on a higher level of elevating consciousness and awareness and knowing that human beings are more than just, you're not just physical, a male or a female. You're mostly male and you are mostly female. One of those two. I may be 51% male and 49% female. It's that balance that's super important. And it's my opinion that we do not live just one time, but we come back time and time again to attain that kind of balance. Because with that kind of balance, you can end war. You can change things radically when people's awareness is raised. I mean, when the far right looks at that torch, what do you think they think that is? They say that that's a penis. Yes. Now, how in the world they can get that out of a torch? You've got to have a distorted way of thinking to think that that is what that is. So that's the understanding of the symbol of, say, for instance, just the torch, because that was extremely important from the standpoint of all the various secret societies in the past, especially one particular group called the Freemasons. Freemasonry had a little bit to do with the Statue of Liberty and putting it together. But today it's been over-exaggerated and thought to believe, we are believed or taught that the Freemasons actually are satanic themselves, and that's not true.
Yeah, I think she also stands, she's very clearly a symbol that the United States was not founded as a Christian nation. That's something else that you'll hear bandied about a lot by the religious right, that we've got to go back to when America was a Christian nation. It was never intended to be a Christian nation. In fact, it was just the opposite. They wanted it to be a nation of law that was available to any religion to be practiced for whatever you wanted to do. And that's coming right out of her crown. She's an enlightened being. She's got light coming right out of her head. So it's the symbol that Bob was talking about, of an enlightened being, a dual gender, an androgynous. In fact, she's an androgynous face. She's both male and female. And that's the goal for everybody, is to find that balance between the male aspect of the warrior and the female aspect of the nurturer. And each of us has to find both of those and raise up the one that's the weaker. And I like the Statue of Liberty as a symbol for that. She's striding forward. She's got action in her name. She's liberty enlightening the world. She's actively participating in change. And America, as I said earlier, has led the way to this brink of environmental upheaval, that we are on the tipping point, if we haven't already passed the tipping point, based on these past decades of pouring excess carbon into the atmosphere, that our American way of life has been passed around throughout the whole world as that's the way to do it, and the world is disposable. Well, we've hit that point where it's going to fight back now, and we have to change. So America can be a new leader in a new revolution, an energy revolution, a values revolution, whatever you want to have. We can find new energy solutions and lead the way. We've changed before. We can change again. The Statue of Liberty is a symbol of change. Let's change.
Yeah.
It's a symbol to become enlightened and dual gender at the board, you know, to bring the Klan mothers to the table so we get all solutions considered and come up with some new ideas so that we don't drive this truck off the cliff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we're working towards that. Just, you know, change can be slow, but we're at this place of, just because we're at this brink of this environmental issues and everything else, it needs to happen a little faster than it has been, or we're going to be in big trouble. And I think we're realizing that. But, you know, the wheels of politics and everything else that we deal with go slower. And so I think a lot of people lose hope and get frustrated, you know.
Yeah, well, that's where you have to go back to. Change starts with within, from within, and all these little bitty things that we each do in our own lives. Every social revolution has been the result of tiny little changes that people make and tiny little decisions that lots and lots of people make. So don't discount the small changes that each of us can do, these small random acts of kindness, and how, you know, just picking up the pen for somebody and looking them in the eye and smiling at them can change a piece of legislation down the road that will impact hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of people. So, yeah, change comes from within, and I think the people that you're talking to on this radio show, Voices for Women especially, but, you know, the conscious creative types that have different values, you know, the more that we talk about them and the more we empower, get the conversations going about these goddesses that are all around us. The District of Columbia, you know, our politicians are all legislating and deliberating our laws in a federal district that's named after a goddess. Columbia is another representation of the Lady Liberty. And, you know, she's right there on top of the Capitol Dome itself. There's another Statue of Liberty up there. She's actually called the Statue of Freedom, but it's an allegorical female standing for this huge concept of freedom, of liberty. And if that can be embodied in the shape of a woman, what does that say about the strength of women? So we've got to bring women up, and men have to step aside and let them lead and welcome them in across the spectrum, all parts of life.
Yeah, and I think that our role is to educate people of, you know, because when you talked before about, you know, the right wing and the fundamental Christians, is that fear of the goddess and that, you know, that's Satan and it's evil, you know, and Eve and all that, is to educate that, you know, what she truly represents, and that she's not evil, and to hold for that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really enjoyed reading your book. I encourage people to check out the book, The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World. Thank you for writing it.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you
thank
for having
you
us.
Very much. really enjoyed this. I really
good. Vote for women.
Yes, vote for women. Well, even just locally, you know, we're not saying necessarily. It's really important locally in your local. We have a lot in Seattle and the Washington State of women leaders in our politics. So that's great. Okay, well, we're at the end of our show. I just want to sign off. I'm Chris Danis, founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. And we are right now creating our 25th annual conference. We're going to be doing special things. Sign up for the newsletter to find out more. We'll be launching probably in about a month of a very exciting program. Just go to womenofwisdom.org. And also I want to point out our fall festival is October 1st. We have booths for artists, intuitive readers, energy healers. Love for you to join us. Information application forms are up on the website, womenofwisdom.org. Just look for the fall festival. And check out my book, Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And that's an inspirational book of many stories from the variety of people who've been part of Women of Wisdom, participants and presenters and artists. Poetry in the book is a great way to explore the divine feminine from many, many voices. You can purchase that on our website as well, womenofwisdom.org. Okay, well, thanks for joining us today. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.